get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, well, then praise we must. And if you can't find anything praiseworthy, well, then be something praiseworthy to others. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. I don't know who said that, but I know St. Paul said all that other stuff. And while we might occasionally curse the darkness here on Call Me Catholic, mostly we affirm that which is true, good, and pure, and gracious, etc., etc., etc. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and hopefully lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world, whether we like it or not, yeah, you can call me Catholic.
But we like it.
We like it. We like it. Yeah. I mean, some days are easier than others. We covered that last week. Jimmy G is here with me for this hour, and that means he's with you, too. Jimmy G is my chief engineer, chief fact checker, and kind of all-arounder.
I'm thrilled to be here. Well, you keep adding new duties to my title there.
Well, you know, all-arounder, I love that term. Our middle son, Nick, works for a company called Reddit, which is a big internet company.
Right, right.
And they had a company meeting last month, and he called and was so excited to share with his dad and me that he got the all-arounder award.
Ooh.
And I said, well, what is that, like, get around, little Sue, or get around? He said it means, you know, it's a new term. I guess it's kind of a modern vernacular, but it means somebody that kind of all around touches all the different skill bases.
Nice.
Gets along with everybody. So you're my all-arounder.
Something to add to the resume there.
All-arounder. Yeah. Double A. Hey, I'd like to officially invite all of you guys into our studio this morning. And how can you do that? Well, we are going Facebook Live. Marvelous Matt, our studio assistant, gets us on there on our Facebook page. So you can go right, if you're hands-free, go right to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/callmecatholic. And if you're near a computer, you can do that, or any kind of internet access, you can watch us. So we have some strategically placed cameras right in our studio, and you can get a live look at what's going on.
Join our Facebook family.
And by the way, that stays up there, that feed, even though it's happening live right now, and you post your comments, which we will hope to address. But you can also go back to it or share it with friends if you like the show. Okay? Or if you're hearing it and you'd like to go back and watch
it. If they like the show, come on now.
Because you like the show.
Of course they'll like it.
Okay. What you probably will not see from that Facebook post is that we are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the very handsome landmark Christ Cathedral campus here in Garden Grove, California. Now, here we are, the last Saturday of August, and I just got to say, as we say farewell, bid adieu to summer, that this has been, wow, a really roller coaster of a year for me. My mom has been in and out of the hospital three different times.
Yeah.
First of the year, I lost my uncle. My sister's very successfully battling a fairly serious illness. And our son got married a couple of weeks ago, or last month. And that was such a huge highlight. And so it's been huge. And then this week, I have to announce that we lost Jim's dad. My father-in-law, who almost reached his 99th birthday, passed away.
Oh, wow.
And he's not been well for a while. His body was really breaking down hard and fast over these last couple of years, but he remained sharp as a tack to the last breath. I mean, you couldn't get anything past George. He was really a poster boy for the greatest generation. He served in the Army Air Corps as a navigator during World War II and then also the Korean War. He also was with counterintelligence for quite a bit of his service. He married his wife Lynn in Japan while he was still in active duty. And then upon returning to the United States, he and his wife Lynn proceeded to adopt 10 children. My husband is the oldest of 8 boys
Amazing.
And 2 girls. And his mom always said, "You got the good one, Peggy."
Amazing.
And I cannot argue with that. How did George support his family? He was the world's most tenacious office product salesman for IBM. He sold typewriters, those big old IBM Selectrics. To this day, there's one sitting in his living room. Mm. My husband said to me this weekend, "You want that typewriter?" I said, "We don't have room in our house for that typewriter."
Doesn't take up much space, does it?
He was a very memorable guy. Loved people, loved sports, loved his family very much, and he was a man of great faith. So, George, rest in peace, and thank you for giving me Jim. Now, you know, when you experience the death of a loved one, a family member, or a friend, you become acutely aware of what they have left behind. And I'm not talking about possessions. I'm talking about their legacy, You know, it's really not the achievements or the wealth they amassed or the influence they carried. It's the love that endures. It's the love they gave away freely. It's the love with which they lived that truly measures the quality of their time on earth. Now, having said that, I will admit, excuse me, that I really do love a good eulogy, a good, well-delivered, well-crafted eulogy at a memorial or a funeral service that really puts their whole life in perspective. It tells you from the beginning to the end. And now we know what the end is and we know everything in between. And a lot of times we come to these services and we only know a portion of that person's life. So it's really interesting to get the full chronology of their life, of what they did when they were young, what their family was like, all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate that. But what continues to live on in their story is the love they invested in the world. That's their living legacy. So people will go through the money you inherit. You know, it's wonderful to have a piece of furniture or jewelry or art that came from someone you loved. It will always remind you of them. But it can't nourish you like the memory of the love they gave you. And we all know that. We all leave a funeral with the same thought. Wow, I hope I can live a life worthy of a good eulogy.
Exactly.
I think everybody recognizes that the things you do with love in life are the moments that will live on. So why do we spend so much time engaging in those conversations, those actions, those goals, those pursuits that testify to something other than our love? Mm. We waste a lot of time being angry and resentful and defensive and combative and ambitious. And there's a season for all of that, as we know from Ecclesiastes. But hopefully that shouldn't be the driving energy of our life. Right now, the world feels pretty contentious. And I want to borrow Rodney King's line from the 90s during the LA riots. Can't we all just get along?
Yep, yep.
So today on Call Me Catholic, we're going to give you some tools for getting along, especially with your spouse and your kids. We've got a very popular and respected Catholic marriage therapist who's in the studio with us today. Claire Fraser Izaguirre, along with her husband, Dr. John Izaguirre, authored one of the preeminent manuals for a successful marriage called, here comes the prop, Claire, Thriving Marriage. And Claire will join us in just a minute to share some of her effective strategies for strengthening your marriage, even rebuilding it, and modeling what she calls intelligent love to your children. Claire Fraser Izaguirre will join us in just a minute. And then, if we have time in our Chatting with Catholics segment at the end of the hour, we're going to revisit a little chat I had with a sweet Catholic woman who told me how first she fell in love with Jesus and then she fell in love with her husband. It was a precious testimony that kind of goes with our conversation today. But first up, it's our Call Me Catholic Countdown, which in keeping with this week's theme of getting along and loving each other, will be my top five ways you can give the world a little love this week. The world needs some love right now. So here we go.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
We should be playing that, is it Jackie DeShannon's song, What the World Needs
That's
Now?
That's the song I was thinking of. Sweet love.
Not just for one, but for everyone. Mm-hmm. Okay, Burt Bacharach's words. Actually, probably Hal David's words. Burt Bacharach's melody. Okay, so we do need a little bit more love. So here are my top five ways to give the world some love. Number five, anticipate something that somebody needs before they have to ask you for it. Now, that can be a person. This week, with the announcement of my father-in-law's death, boom, the next day, one of my dearest friends had dinner at our doorstep. Didn't ask me, didn't inquire, she just put it there. I mean, maybe you see somebody struggling with their groceries, somebody that looks lost on a corner, approach them, anticipate them, that shows you're paying attention to them. Okay, number four, smile at people and say good morning.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, make some eye contact, smile and say good morning. You cannot believe, I go on my walks early in the morning, and some people are just so friendly and nice, other people are hosing down that driveway, they ain't gonna give you nothing. And it's, you know, show the world you love them that way. Okay, number three, express your gratitude, whether it is to a serviceman in the fast food counter, whether it's to your mailman, whether it is to a friend that did something lovely for you. Express gratitude. That is a way that we show love. Never take anything for granted. Okay, number two, engage in random acts of generosity. Do it anonymously. Leave just a really super generous tip, or leave flowers at somebody's doorstep, or buy the person behind just lunch in the fast food takeout. You know, one of the first visits to Chico, where our son went to college, my son and I, we were all kind of nervous about Charlie entering college, and we went to an ice cream store, and when we went up to pay for our ice cream, the girl said, oh, every once in a while this man comes by, gives us a lot of money, and says, just buy ice cream for everybody that comes in until it runs out. Wow. So a random act of generosity can really change somebody's day.
Yeah.
Try it today, okay? And number one, pray for people. You know, if you see somebody that you think you pass in the street, you don't know them, throw up a prayer. I have a friend, Big Bob Barry, who always says, I just throw up a prayer every time I think somebody needs it. And believe me, they feel that love. They feel it. You don't think God's going to let that go neglected.
Yeah, bless that man.
Yeah. So pray for people. Don't just tell them you're going to do it. It doesn't take a lot of time, but do pray for them. Okay. That may seem like kind of a cliche, that list today, but you know what? We've got to be intentional and deliberate about bringing Christ's love into the world tangibly, and we're not going to just claim to be Christian. We should be modeling Christ's love in these small gestures and habits that fill up our days. And of course, I'm primarily talking to myself here. I'm looking at you, Jimmy G, and I'm looking at my listeners, but I'm mostly talking to myself.
I'm nodding in agreement. Can people see me on the radio nodding?
Yeah, well, just give them the back of your hand.
Yeah, I guess I can.
But you can come up with your own list, and you can share it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic, or you can watch us live, too, on that Facebook page. But mostly, I just want you to think about it and do something today that might make a difference, okay? Claire Frazier Izaguirre is up next to talk about bringing kindness into our married relationships, along with a few other qualities and behaviors as well. I think she's going to go deeper than just kindness, but you're going to get some great tips. I think you're going to absolutely find this a very, very beneficial and entertaining conversation. She's an expert on the subject of healthy marriages, so stay with us for that very relevant conversation. And then at the end of the hour, we might share with you a little Chatting with Catholic segment where a friend of mine talks about her special love for Jesus and then her love for her husband and how the two are very, very compatible. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, friends. How are you doing today? Are you getting along with everybody in your life right now? Would you like to be engaged in more positive relationships or strengthen the relationships you have, in particular your marriage? I kind of sound like a hawker, Jimmy G. I don't mean to. I feel like I should be standing on a corner. How are you doing with your relationships today?
Well, the right people who need to hear this show are tuned in.
They are.
So have that confidence.
Okay. Then you have arrived at the right listening space. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we have in the studio a very talented and insightful Catholic marriage counselor, Claire Frazier Izaguirre. She's very well known in our own geographic region here in Southern California because she and her psychologist husband, Dr. John Izaguirre, run an extremely well-respected counseling service for married couples called Thriving Families. They speak all over the country on how to build thriving marriages and families, and in fact, co-authored a popular book on the subject called Thriving Marriages, An Inspirational and Practical Guide to Lasting Happiness. Who doesn't want that? So Claire is with us today to share some of her seasoned advice on maintaining and building successful marriages and other relationships. Claire, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Oh, thank you, Peggy.
This is like the most outgoing presence I've had. I could feel her energy and her support all the way through the opening, which she had to
Amen.
Sit through.
Amen.
Hey, so Claire, first question right off the bat. Is it true that opposites attract?
Yes. And by the way, you'll have to pardon my deep, sexy voice this morning as the seasonal allergies have captured
me. I'm trying
me.
To imitate it, actually.
Or as you said, my whiskey voice.
Your whiskey voice,
That's good. Well, you know, we often like to say, having been married, John and I, for 32, going on 33 years now, and having worked with couples just about for those 32 years, that yes, opposites do attract, but birds of a feather fly together.
Well, there you go. See, there's that one too.
Yeah. So we have to know how to blend and integrate our differences with wisdom and respect, or we're going to not be able to fly together.
Yeah. So give our listeners kind of a sense into your insight. What are some of the things that you wish people could integrate more into their marriage, more effectively, more readily?
Well, that's the core secret. That's the core secret.
Do we have to pay for it?
And you don't have to pay for it, although you may want to continue your own education in marriage. We need to keep learning how to be married. Just because we're married doesn't mean we know how to be married. And so we're encouraging everybody, get our books, get our CDs. Yeah. And, you know, if you're able and you're in the Southland, come in for a visit, you know, and get some help. But we have to keep learning how to be married because our natural instinct is to be an individual.
Well, I was going to say, why doesn't this come naturally to us? I mean, you'd think it would. We are human beings. We are born for relationship.
Yes, we are. It's in our DNA, born in the image of God. And, you know, that was what John and I passionately wanted to help couples know how to do is how to become couples, because it is in our DNA to love. And not only to be a successful couple, but to use these dynamics of unity, we call them, to increase the relationships with everybody on different levels, because we're at different places with different folks. But I think the answer to that is, while it's in our bones and in our DNA, we need a guidebook. We need a roadmap. You'd never think of taking off on vacation, wanting to go somewhere and not having a clue
right.
how to get there. So we wanted to
Although
create a way.
Although that can be fun.
It is fun, but you also have to know the necessary ingredients, yeah. you know. And so we wanted in marriage for this journey to be fun mm-hmm. and to be lasting. You know, we have a dear couple who just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and they just shared
And they have been in your counseling service?
No, these are faraway friends.
Okay.
You know, we have friends all over the world. And right now you may be aware that in Ireland we have the world meeting of families right. going on. And
today Pope Francis arrives today
yes,
in Dublin.
He arrives in Dublin and then goes over to the Shrine of Knock, which we had the pleasure of going to as a family back in 06 to visit Ireland on our first trip. And to go to the Shrine of Knock, which is Mary, the only time, I just have to say this because I think it's so cool, the only appearance of Mary in the world where she brought her husband, Joseph, was to Knock.
And
she
John
also
too,
brought
right?
John. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very special, so I love the Irish, I'm part Irish myself, and I love the way they say it. They say it the right way. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You know, they're always including the Holy Family.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it became in our bones, is that when God created us in his image, he created us for loving relationships.
And, you know, it's very instinctive to grab a parenting handbook. Yes. You know, we usually refer to some of the experts when we're going through the process of parenting. So it stands to reason that marriage,
yes.
which comes first,
yes.
Would require some handbooks too along
Absolutely.
The way.
And not just initially. You know, right now on this campus, five couples are getting ready to get married in a mass marriage. I just yeah. mentioned that to Peggy on the way up. It, going,
yes, it's
What's
a big,
with all these flower bouquets?
Vietnamese.
And then I asked somebody, you know, it's Hispanics.
Oh, it's Hispanic.
We've
okay.
got a happening campus here
yes.
at Christ Cathedral. And so we've
Many
got
different cultures.
English and Spanish and Vietnamese. You know, our books are out in English and Spanish, and maybe one day in Vietnamese. Who knows? But right now, five couples are getting ready to be married. And so we do a fair amount of premarital prep. And we say, keep it going.
Yeah.
Don't just have your weekend class
right.
or read this book. Say, keep it going because we need to keep learning how to be married.
We are talking today with Claire Fraser Izaguirre, and as you can tell, she is a marriage counselor expert with a Catholic emphasis. And if you would like to join our conversation, maybe you have some comments, maybe you have some testimony that you'd like to share, the number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. We have an expert in the house today, so you might want to take advantage of that. So, Claire, you say you do work with married couples engaged before they go into, which I think is just brilliant. Do you do that as part of the Catholic Church training then, or is it separate?
Well, you know, we're on the list, you know, the big list, you mm-hmm. know, and so pastors are often referring couples in for kind of an abbreviated course of our Thriving Marriages. So they'll usually come in for five sessions, 5 hours.
Just one, just
together.
Together with you though. Just
yeah,
one-on-one.
Or my husband mm-hmm. and kind of get a more personal approach, you know.
Wow.
So a lot of times pastors will refer couples over who might not want to, or it might not be appropriate for them to go to a weekend.
I see.
They might need to process. You know, we're getting a lot of couples.
I think that would be very valuable.
I know. And then we track with them. You know, we've been doing this for 30 years. We almost feel like those general practitioner doctors that you grow up with that see mm-hmm. you and then they see your kids. We have now three generations.
Wow. That's amazing.
Of people coming in. And when we do our talks in the churches, it's such a blessing to have all ages. But we'll have some of the older couples come to us afterwards and said, oh my gosh, all during your talk, I was thinking of our grown kids and they have kids. And then they bring their kids and their young ones.
Okay. So let's start with the pre-married.
Yeah. Premarital prep.
Do you ever see a couple come in and think to yourself, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yep. Yep.
So
yep,
what are
yep.
the telltale signs?
They always ask us, do you have that crystal ball? Is
yep.
there, you know, how long is this going to take? And is there hope for us if they come in squabbling like they all do?
As an engaged couple.
Oh, couples squabble from the get-go.
Sure. Right.
And those squabbles, if they don't get resolution and learn the skills, they continue squabbling in marriage. So we say, we don't know where that crystal ball is, but But this we can tell you, if you learn the necessary skills of empathy, good self-care, and mutuality, those three key skills are what are going to help you create a thriving marriage. And then you gotta keep honing in on those skills to, like a garden, you have to keep tending your empathy and your self-care.
Well, define what empathy is in the context of marriage.
Yeah, empathy is intelligent love. It's my ability to know how to make the other happy. You know,
oh,
it's
interesting. The ability to know how to make the other person happy.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And not the way I think they need to be loved, but the way they want to be loved. And so in marriage, we're always given the opportunity to hook into the need. So we tell our couples, learn key empathy questions like, hey, honey, of all the things that I could do for you this week, what would you find most meaningful?
Yeah.
So we have to keep updating our records.
You know, and it's a beautiful reflection of that person's awareness of you. I remember when I was a mother of three young boys, and I remember this evening so vividly. And I had had a long day with these three boys. And my husband came home from work, and I just said, you know, I'm just going to lay down a little bit. So I went into the bedroom and lay down. He turned off the light, closed the door, and proceeded to make dinner,
yes,
do all the chores of the yes evening, and never said, maybe, do you want to lay down now, or should I do dinner, or what do you want me to do now?
He
just did it.
That's right.
And I never got up again that night. But I mean, it was just a moment where I felt so loved.
And it's relevant love. It's not, gee, I'm going to do you a nice thing kind of love. It's bullseye love. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call it, bullseye love.
Bullseye love.
So when you are wanting to love somebody, because a lot of couples, they get so frustrated with each other because they're doing nice things for each other, but the other person doesn't find it relevant. So that's why we say check with your spouse. Never assume. On the flip side of that coin, we get people saying, yeah, but if he loved me, he should just know. Mm-hmm. He should just know. And I say, don't do that. Don't, you are not God. You know, don't try to be a mind reader. Ask each other, what would you like? And then keep updating our records. We had a very, very vivid example of how this went awry with a couple that came in. And we always ask the empathy question in our marriage counseling, like, hey, what makes your spouse happy? That's an empathy question.
Mm-hmm.
And one time this guy immediately jumped into answering and said, oh, this, and this. And his wife is looking at him like, what planet did you just fall off of? Yeah. And he looked at her and said, but honey, don't you remember you said that's what made you happy on our honeymoon? And she says, but honey, that was 28 years ago. Where have you been?
The honeymoon is over.
So that may have been relevant back in the day, but every week is a new opportunity. So we have to get busy, and then we start thinking the way we would like to be loved. And that's where empathy goes awry. And we have to keep learning how true empathy is making the other person happy.
And the biggest obstacle there, I think, is man think and woman think. I mean, I do think sometimes we try to address them as we like as women, and men sort of think, well, you know, you want to watch the baseball game with me.
That's right, which is good, because that's the way to love the spouse. The spouse will always know. And as long as it's realistic and you have time, you know, otherwise you can just say, hey, hon, I can't do that right now, but in an hour, yeah, let's do that. Let's watch that game.
Okay, so that is empathy. What were the other two qualities you identified?
The other two are empathy is what we'd call you skills. In a relationship, there's you, there's I, and there's we.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know how to grow each three of those relationships, you know, and in the Trinity, you know, bearing the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If I were to ask you, hey, tell me about God the Father, and you start talking about God the Son, I said, I didn't ask you about God the Son, I asked about God the Father. So if we ask somebody, you know, hey, how's your marriage? Or how's your wife? And they start talking about something, another part of the marriage. We say, I didn't ask you about that. So empathy is about the other person. How do I love you in the marriage? Well, there's also the I. I got to know how to manage my stress. And we call that good self-care or autonomy skills.
Okay, good self-care. I like that. I wanted to go.
Yes.
And we're going to go deeper on that.
Yeah.
Claire Fraser Izaguirre is going to stay with us, because we wouldn't think of letting her go yet. We know you have some questions and comments for her. Maybe you have some testimonies about your marriage, some tricks and techniques that have worked for you guys. So give us a call. And Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will put you right into our conversation. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Maybe you witnessed something in your own parents' marriage that you continue to model today, or maybe you were had an adverse experience growing up with your marriage. So give us a call, 714-282-6034. You can also post your comments on our Facebook live stream, facebook.com/callmecatholic. So stay tuned for more of all of this. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hello there. I am very happy to know that you've stayed with us through the break so you can enjoy so much more wisdom and insight from our guest today, Claire Frazier Izaguirre. She's a Catholic marriage counselor and therapist. Claire and her husband, Dr. John Izaguirre, have a thriving marriage counseling practice called Thriving Families. It's, you can find out more about it at thrivingfamilies.com, where they offer well-honed strategies for nurturing a healthy and rewarding marriage and how that can benefit your children and pretty much the rest of the world, too. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. So, Claire, you mentioned that in Ireland right now is the world meeting of families, yeah. And Pope Francis has arrived in Dublin to address at the Festival of Families, yes, I think, there, yes, in a stadium in Dublin. Interestingly, I want to ask your observation about this, because since about the 1980s, divorce has been on the decline. There aren't as many divorces as there used to be in the 70s, but there's less marriage.
Bingo, you just got it. It's still hovering at a little bit more than 50%, but we have way more couples who are cohabitating, and millennials don't feel the same need as the baby boomers and Gen Xers to start their path together through marriage. They rent, and then they live together and think, okay, when I have money, mm-hmm. you know, then we'll maybe start think, or maybe have a kid, then we'll start thinking about getting married. And so they don't put it at the beginning of the process like previous generations. They're not in any real rush. And so we get a lot of those couples coming in because, like I said earlier to you, couples are squabbling about things all the time at every stage of their journey. So we tell couples, whether you're married or not, just come learn the skills, and then you can discern your path more successfully.
You know, it's interesting. There has been a lot of talk lately, and maybe because some books and things have come out, about arranged marriages. And of course, this is still a practice in India. And I read an interesting conversation with a couple who had an arranged marriage, and the way they talked about it, and it was successful, was very much the way I wish people could talk about their sacrament of marriage, which is, well, you make the decision, and it's kind of relaxing because, you know, I'm in it for the long run now. There's no, you know, he's not going to go away. She's not going to go away.
Right.
We learn to like each other.
And they're committed to the relationship. And so many couples are maybe committed to each other, but they're not really committed to their relationship. So we call that double insurance, when you can be committed to each other, but also to the relationship when it goes south. Because those arranged marriages, which would never happen, and it's not really relevant in American society, is they got to learn the same skills of unity that every other couple mm-hmm. have to learn, too. It's just that they have more of a societal support.
Yes, that's true. The whole culture supports them. Hey, are you ready for a call, therapist Claire?
Love to. Okay. Let me get plugged in here.
Okay, let's get her earphones on. But I'm going to introduce our first caller. She is Kathy. Welcome to Call Me Catholic. You are from Boston, and you have a question or a comment for our in-house expert?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey there.
So I've been married in the Catholic Church since 2005, but I've been with my husband, I don't know, I'd say for 1,000 years since we met. We grew up together, and we think it's like, oh my gosh, it's been like over 30 years.
Oh.
This will be next year. We'll be 30 years.
Congratulations.
It's like, oof, it's like a long time. Anyway,
it's a good long time.
So I have 4 children, and my oldest, he's 24, and obviously, like any other couple, my husband and I, we've gone through our ups and downs, and there were a couple of times that we almost threw in the towel, and we said, that's it, I'm done, whatever, everybody goes their own way. But thankfully, you know, the Lord just called us, and we stuck together, and we hung up. But my son, like, because of, like, in my family, I think I'm the only one. And I'm one of 6 children. And in my husband's family, the same thing. I think we're the only one that in our family, we've been together from day one with the first person that we met. okay?
Okay. You mean the first person you met or first person you married, your first husband?
Like my first boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, I met him when I was 13. So when my kids see that and they're like, "Ma, that's not usual. That's not the way." I'm like, "I'm sorry, but that's just the way I was raised." Whatever. So now my son, right? So he has his own son with his girlfriend. They've been together for 9 years. They met when they were in high school. And for the longest time, like, come on, you already have a child. What are you waiting for? He's like, nope, I'm against marriage. I don't want to have anything to do with marriage, because he sees it, or he saw it in, like, my family, his father's family, and everywhere we went, we didn't have this role model of a couple that we could say, you know, we want to be like them. And thankfully, last year, we started the Neocatechumenal Way, and my son started asking, like, a lot of questions. He had a lot of questions. I'm like, I don't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I introduced him to the deacon of the church, and, you know, that's how it all started. Anyways, the thing is that he decided after maybe 6 months into, like, go getting back to church, he's like, "Mommy, I think I'm ready.
Okay.
I think I'm ready, and I think my family and my son and I deserve to be blessed by God and have our family as
so that's all good. That's all good news, Kathy. Is that, are you happy about
that? I am extremely happy. The only thing is that my son has a very short fuse. So when he gets angry, you know, he doesn't have the
self-control.
My fear is that, correct, once they get married and everything, like at the first challenge, boom, everything is done.
Okay, that's a really excellent situation to present to our therapist, Claire. Claire, how would you advise this couple if they are well aware of the fact that he has a short fuse?
Well, they have to grow up. They have to learn how to manage anger. And, you know, I'd mentioned empathy as the ability to love the other person well. Well, there's another dynamic in the marriage, which is, how do I take care of myself to be a gift? We call it gift of the healthy self. So I'm not just giving the leftovers because I'm a workaholic to my family, or I'm just not venting on them because I don't know how to manage my anger. And so it's very important to address that dynamic in the marriage. Is I got to grow up. I got to learn skills to manage my stress. I got to learn how to be married, because when we go from being an individual to being married, it's not like you turn 18 and you're an adult by our society. It doesn't just go instant presto, whammo. We have to learn good, healthy, we call it autonomy. But it doesn't mean autonomy in the sense of I can do with my life whatever I want to do. It's my responsibility to take care of my life so I can love you. I can give you the best of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say Kathy, get our book and gift it to him.
Thriving Marriages.
Yeah. You know,
second
get it off
edition.
Amazon. You know, buy one for you and your hubs and everybody else. And we do a step-by-step process, very practical, of how to address good empathy, good self-care, and good mutuality.
And you can learn it. You know, so thank you for that call.
What's that book?
It's called Thriving Marriages. And you can, I'll give the information on our Facebook page too, but it is called Thriving Marriages, and the website is thrivingfamilies.com, and you can order it from that too. So thank you, Kathy. And you know, I'm going to add one more thing too. I think the fact that your son has arrived at his appreciation for marriage, along with his appreciation for his faith should be able to help him with his anger too. He will be able to develop a prayer life discipline that.
And we integrate our faith very concretely is how do we grow our faith and our relationships? We actually connect those two.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you for that call, Kathy, and congratulations on your son's nuptials. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Do you ever see, Claire, in engaged couples, too much of an obsession with the wedding?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a modern problem.
Yes. Well, and I think that's why a lot of couples postpone getting married, because they're thinking, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money. And it doesn't have to. It can be a simple wedding.
Oh, sure.
But on the other hand, it does cost money. And so, yes, sometimes there is an obsession to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on that and to really skimp out on the premarital prep. You know, only 30% of couples getting married today get any form of premarital preparation. And that's just a spit in the bucket. It's, you know, maybe a weekend here. So we tell couples, just get the skills wherever you are. And by the way, the 30% is largely due to churches, because the churches are saying you need to get some.
Enforce it.
Hallelujah. But then we mustn't just forget about growing after we get married. You know, 5 hours for a life of mutual love is just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we've been so busy.
Well, it's true. I mean, I think that these are things that skills we need to learn, lifelong skills, and you can apply them to other aspects of other relationships too.
Yeah. Encourage everybody. You know, many couples will come in and learn this, and then they'll say, wow, this is really helping me. You know, this helped me so tremendously in caring for my own aging parents. You know, as we know, you know, having older moms and dads who pass, and my dad passed at 91 in February, and so, but it was 2 years of heavy duty care prior to that, and the mom passed many years before that. And it means that to raise our children and to care for ourselves and our marriages and to care for our aging parents, there's a lot of skills involved in that, and that's also part of the healthy self-care skills is I got to make time for the important things in my life. I don't want to be saying I'm too busy, I can't visit dad in the old folks' home. I'm too busy, I can't be with my kids growing up.
Well, do you find that you just put on the cultural buzzword busy?
Yes.
Do you find that modern life, you've been doing this for decades.
Yes.
Now, do you think that modern trends, modern behavior is introducing new challenges to marriage?
Yes, yes, yes. It's almost like we are proud if we say to somebody, hey, how you doing? They say busy. It's almost like that's a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the diseases of our day and age is multitasking. That's a disease, you know, just like consumerism and individualism. Those are kind of what we call the rip currents of our current society that rip us in. And so being too busy. So what we all got to do, we all have 24/7. So in the autonomy skills, what we teach couples is learn how to balance your life. And in chapter 5, we have a very step-by-step process of how to do that so that I can give my time to the important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The important stuff and not be distracted. I mean, I think distraction is creating a lot of busyness, too. Yep. It's, yes, we have to be here and we have to be there. But we've got all these distractions. You know, you're going to one place and somebody's texting you that they want you to come to another place. So I think distraction gets in the way of empathy. It gets in the way of self-love, you know, self-care, as you call it, or the communal time together. Let's take another call because your subject is very popular with our listeners today. We're going to talk to James in South Carolina. Hey, James, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm a first-time listener and first-time caller.
Okay.
I just wanted to kind of tell you a little bit about, I don't know if I'm asking, looking for answers to any questions, but maybe just a testimony. I am a late bloomer parent. I'm 53. My wife is 36. You know, there's a big gap there. She's a cradle Catholic. I'm a convert. One thing I can tell you about is my parents. I have older parents. They're old Appalachian. My dad was from Kentucky. My mom was from Tennessee.
Bless their hearts.
Passed away. They passed away years ago. My dad lived to be 96, had dementia and everything. But at our wedding, they lived long enough to see me get married. Thank goodness.
Hallelujah.
One thing my mother said, and it's pretty basic. She said, one of the things, like, what's your secret for a long, happy marriage? She said, don't get angry at the same time. And you've heard it thousands of times. I mean, it's a pretty basic thing, but a little bit about what kind of got us together and what made me kind of rethink about relationships and marriage. Before we could get married in the church, and my wife was away from the church, both of us were living pretty, I was working in the restaurant industry and we were just going, both of us were astray. My wife had an experience that brought her back and she was looking for a man of God and I was not that guy. And
yet
I dated her for a couple weeks and then I just stopped calling her and she called me out of the blue and I decided on the spot that I was going to quit fornicating and everything else I was doing and decide that I was going to be with this woman for the rest of my life. Here I am just in my late 30s. So before we could get married, she wanted to get married in the church. And before we could, the priest said, you need to go to Engaged Encounter. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much from that. One of the things that really stuck with me was they said that you and your spouse, your goal is to get each other to sainthood. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a heavy thing. So you have to do everything. You have to sacrifice everything for you, for her. She has to sacrifice everything for me. We're both working. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be fights. But you have to remember that, you know, the marriage is an image of Christ's relationship with the church. It's
Beautiful, James.
It's really love God first, love your spouse, and then love your children. And we now have, we have four kids, stair steps, a boy, 11, daughter, 8, and then we have another pair, a boy, 5, and a little girl who's 3.
Oh, beautiful.
So I got, you know, it's fun. It keeps me going. And one of my biggest sins is stressing over finances. And my wife will tell me that stress is not coming from God, honey. You know, and
wow,
and
so you're both on the same page.
I think
that's
about
beautiful.
It. She has the right thing to say to me at the right time, and you know, it's been beautiful, and we've been married 13 years now.
Wow. Well, congratulations, James, and I love that story. And you know, that's a good story for parents to hear too, if they feel their daughter or their son has fallen away from the faith, they're never going to get married. You just keep praying like Monica did, and people, you know, look at this beautiful life that you have crafted for yourself by the grace of God, James. So congratulations, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, Claire, you may correct me on this, but I used to say to people sometimes when they were having, you know, such serious differences with their spouse that they just couldn't stand them anymore. And I'd say, sometimes we have to look at our spouse the same way we look at our children. You know, our children disappoint us sometimes. Our children get on our nerves. But do you ever stop and think, I am simply not going to be a mother anymore?
Exactly. Well, that beautifully segues to the third most important dimension of unity, which is we. The we. You know, we've got to have good I skills, good you skills through empathy and good self-care. But we also have to learn good we skills, because this is where, at the break I was mentioning to you, Peggy, this is where our marriage actually shows up. When people look at us, do they see that our interactive skills are good, or do they see us fighting and ignoring each other? So in the we skills, we call that mutuality. And God calls us to mutual love. That's the hallmark of health. Many couples, and it's very sad to see many couples have, they're nice people, you know, they've got some empathy skills and they're organized, but they've not really developed very good interactive skills. And the we skills, the mutuality skills, are what keep us growing. I mean, it's so sad.
Give me an example of interactive skills.
There's three key core skills mutuality is communication, conflict resolution, and forgiveness. Communication is the ability to keep being interested and saying, hey, honey, how was your day? And sharing the meaning of your day, not just all the yada, yada, yadas, you know, because after a while we know what we're doing each day. It's the ability to keep sharing the meaning of our day that is so important. In conflict resolution, this is the core skill of what keeps us growing.
Conflict resolution.
This is our ability to integrate our differences. So people, you know, this is one of the myths of marriage is that couples who are successful don't have problems. And we're going, everybody's got problems, because problems are there not to drive you nuts, but to grow your unity. The problem is your differences until the day we die. John and I'll never forget when our son Paul was 8 years old and he was coming back from a talk. You know, he's gone with us to so many talks, and your little voice pipes up in the back seat and says, Mommy and Daddy, you guys are really different. And we laughed and said, we sure are.
That's perceptive of a child of 8 years old.
But they always know that, you know, we are different. And then we proceeded to engage him in a wonderful conversation of, you know, how do you see Mommy? How do you see Daddy? How do you see Mommy and Daddy? And it's really cool when you ask your kids that, because then you can get their perspective.
Yeah.
And the differences are not the problem. It's how we handle these differences. Yeah. If we ignore each other, if we try to dominate each other, if we try to be codependent and just please each other because we're so afraid of conflict. Okay, now those are the issues we've got to address. So that when a conflict comes up, you know, a problem like money or kids or in-laws or where to go on vacation, just, you know, differences
money,
are there.
Kids, in-laws, or where to go on vacation.
It's everything, you know. It's like on any day in, day out, there's going to be, you know, what do you think? What do I think? How do you want to do this? I want to do that. You feel this about this. I feel this about that. Yeah. Those differences are always going to be with us. But the core skill of mutuality is to learn empathy, but this time on steroids. Because remember what empathy is. Empathy is ability to be interested and listen to the other and say, how can I make you happy? Well, when we got a problem, we don't really want to listen to each other, and we're not that interested in making each other happy. So that's where we need empathy on steroids, to say, okay, I don't see it the same way as you do. Tell me again what you think, how you feel. And my ability to understand you, to value you, and commit to an action, we call that the UVA.
Mm-hmm.
understand, value the different opinion, and commit to an action that leads to a win-win. Okay, now that's when you're cooking with EVOO, as one of my friends says.
Extra virgin olive oil.
Yes, that's when you're really, really doing, that's real McCoy. That's how you really know you're solving a problem, if you do all three of those steps. Some people will be good at the understand. They'll say, okay, I got it, mm-hmm. and then they jump mm-hmm. into an action, but they have not valued in their heart, and it's going to bite you in the butt. If you don't value your partner, sooner or later it's going to come out and say, well, I'm just doing this because you wanted me to do it. And we get resentful.
Well, and what are some of the, there's so many, you just hit quite a few
That's
hot
core.
Buttons.
Those are
That's
core.
That's core. What is one of the biggest sources of conflict that couples walk into you with? And sometimes that's not what they voice as a conflict is maybe not the core issue, but right. what do you hear the most?
Well, you know, couples are going to be having differences of opinions about everything. So the differences are always going to be there. That's not the problem. The problem is how we handle the difference. If we don't listen to each other, if we say, oh, you're full of it, or, hey, you know, you should do it my way, and we get really rigid. Okay, now that's the problem. So when couples are asking us, you know, well, which side are you on? And we're saying, we're going to help you guys develop the UVA
Ooh, do you
skills.
Get that question? Which side
all
are you
time.
On?
Oh, my
man.
Gosh.
They are ready for battle.
Oh, couples come in all the time saying, so I'm right, right? And she's wrong, right? Mm. And we always say, listen, we're here to help you build a healthy, thriving relationship. So sometimes that means you have to build better empathy skills. And sometimes that means you have to be better at assertiveness and not being critical. For example, one couple come in, I'll call them Critical Connie and Defensive Dave. Come in and Critical Connie thinks she's sharing with her husband, Dave, what she wants, but she's being very critical. And the problem with that is it's telling somebody what you don't want. It's not telling them what you want. So we tell people, eliminate being critical. Eliminate complaining. When she learned how to do that, she goes, Claire, then what do I say? And I say, well, you know what you want from Dave. Because criticism meets defensiveness every time. Dave would shut down and get defensive
right,
every time
right.
she got critical. So I said, what is it you want from Dave? And she had to think about it. She says, well, I don't want him to, and I said, stop. What do you want? Well, I don't want him. Stop.
State it in an
what
affirmative.
What do you want? We're so used to thinking negative because we're honed to, if I can eliminate the negative, I think I'm going to be happy. And that's not true. Just eliminating the negative is not going to mean I'm going to be happy. If I go home tonight and say, you know, I'll be happy if my husband and I don't have an argument, that's not going to be happy. If I go home and my husband and I have a wonderful experience of mutual love, we go walk on the beach together, we sit on the couch and have a glass of wine and talk to each other, we have a beautiful experience of mutual love, mm-hmm. that's what makes us happy. It's not just going home and saying, I don't want to have an argument.
Well, how does a therapist and a psychologist working in the marriage field deal with their own problems? Well, so when you hit those roadblocks,
we have to practice what we preach.
Do you?
We develop this program and we have to have street cred. We do the work.
Yeah.
You know, and we share. We have lots of examples where we share on our CDs, you know,
yes.
and our talks that we're always giving out in the community. And some of those experiences are shared in the book as well. And that's what we have to role model to our children also. And we have to teach our children empathy, good self-care, and good mutuality
skills. And are these qualities and behavior patterns that endure throughout all the seasons of marriage?
Yes.
Because, you know, when you
yes.
think about it, marriage has really distinct seasons.
Yes.
There's the newlywed season. Then if you are blessed with children,
yes.
parenting brings its
yes.
own challenges.
Yes.
And then the next really interesting phase is,
yes.
I don't like the term empty nest, but when your children are grown and no longer part of your domestic life.
That's right.
That's a whole new thing.
That's
then
right.
retirement is a whole new thing. So these
yes.
continue to be reoccurring
yes.
tools you can use.
We have to keep boosting our empathy, our good self-care, and our mutuality skills. Now, the communication and the conflict resolution is good, but what happens when we hurt each other through this journey? We need to know how to forgive, and we need to know how to make changes. So we get a lot of couples that come in, you know, 15 years into the marriage, and there's something, you know, who hasn't hurt each other?
Mm-hmm.
But we get a lot of big owies that are coming in. Affairs and infidelity,
financial,
and things like that.
You know, non-disclosures of financial things.
Big owies.
Yeah.
And on the big owies, like affairs and abandonment stuff, you have to get professional help. Do not try to wing it. And when they come in, it's the same that we talk to them about with other couples who have really broken promises with each other. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, we're going to fail to love each other, and we have to know how to go through the process of forgiveness. Now, it's actually chapter 11 in our book, and one of our clients said, did you mean to call...
She knows this book.
Chapter 11, The Power of Forgiveness? And I said, like bankruptcy, you know?
Yeah.
I said, oh, that's hilarious.
Chapter 11.
That's hilarious because, you know what?
That's good.
No, but if you don't forgive with each other, you're going to be bankrupt. Not just financially. I'm not talking that. I'm talking emotionally.
Don't want to file chapter 11.
That's right.
Not
that's
in your
where
marriage.
We go emotionally bankrupt if we don't know how to forgive.
Okay. Well, the book is the book that we have been talking about that you know now you cannot live without, whether you need it for yourself or you want to give it to your newlywed friends or your son and daughter that just got married. It's called Thriving Marriages by John Izaguirre, PhD, and Claire Fraser Izaguirre, both outstanding and well-respected marriage therapists that have a great, great formula for you to follow. And you can go to their website, which is thrivingfamilies.com, and you get all the resources there, and you can find out if they're speaking in your area, too. So, Claire, the time has just flown by. Thank you so, so much for being with us, and thank you for the great work you did.
Thank you.
You do. And
thank
the
you,
great
Peggy.
Advice you gave our
you.
Listeners. We appreciate it so much. Hey, you know, Claire, before our interview, you were asking me how people could listen to the show. Well, if you cannot listen to the show through your local Catholic radio station, you should think about starting one yourself. EWTN has some great resources for you, and it's easier than you think. You don't have to have a distinguished career in broadcasting like Jimmy G does. You can learn this.
Yeah, right.
And they have a great core of resources. Go to ear.ewtn.com. That's ear.ewtn.com. And think about starting your own radio station. Think about joining us next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can please call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.